Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Mac and T Show podcast. Here are your hosts, Brian McKay and T. David.
This is the Mac and T Show. This is the Mac and T Show. We talk movies and TV shows, sports and world news, coasting like on a world cruise. Hosted by Brian McKay and T. Davis. Yeah. You can't tame us. We're going to the top, we're becoming famous.
What time is it?
It's time for the Mac and T Show.
What time is it?
I said it's time for the Mac and T Show.
Welcome back to the Mac and T Show podcast. T, we had some constructive criticism, if any criticism, of our first part of All of Me. And I know that on my end, people were telling me that they, even though the presentation was god-awful, they said that they enjoyed the story. They're looking forward to what happens next. They got mad when we stopped when we did. And all I could say for them is they thought the presentation was awful. They should have heard the unedited version.
Man, it was bad.
Because me, I listened back to it when I was on my way to, I had an appointment, down the highway, and I listened to it then. I was like, you know, this isn't that bad. I'll say this, it was not as bad as I anticipated it sounding.
Because we knew how bad it was. Because I listened to it myself, and I was like, okay, we need to do a little bit of tweaking, but we had so many bloopers, it was hilarious. I was like, this thing gonna take Brian all year to edit.
Hey, that's okay. Once we get edited, we're going to send it to a publisher and then we're going to make money, because I get editor's rights on this.
You get editor's rights?
Yes.
Okay.
Edited by Bishop.
You could have been fired then that first time.
Yeah.
Yes, you could have been fired.
All right. Before we get started on part two, would you like to air any grievances as it pertains to any of your teams out in Hollywood?
Well, people, Hollywood, okay. I know I've listened to Chauncey Billups say that the Lakers are not good and they're not going to win now. I've listened to, it wasn't Kevin McHale. Some other supposed to know what they're talking about because they either have played in the league or have followed basketball for a while. And I will say this, and your father can probably back me up on this. When you lose, it used to be a rule. When you lose, it was either 10 or 6 or 8 or something like that, points or less, that's coaching. When it's a blowout, it's the players. Now, last night there was a blowout, so that was the players. Because Kawhi didn't even play for Toronto, and you scored 17 points in a quarter. I don't really know what you're doing. I mean, not putting it all on LeBron, but LeBron, I feel like you should be able to score 17 points and score a quarter by yourself. Uh-huh. People continue to try to, you know, back Luke on these lineup changes. What are you watching in practice? And yes, practice is not the same as playing against another team, but you can see who's playing well together. Like, that's why you have preseason games.
Right.
Like, this is not the time to be trying to figure out what's a good lineup and what's your first two off the bench or whatever. That comes with experience, which Luke Walton does not have. You can say what you want. I could have coached the Warriors to that 20-1 or whatever he did. Like, that machine was already running, and it didn't need anybody to do anything but drive the car.
A blind man could have coached that team.
And so, I can't. I think Luke got to go. He need to fit. You trying to do what? And a lot of teams are trying to do what Golden State does. Well, you got this dude named Popovich down in Texas that's running what he want to run. You got guys shooting their mid-range shots, which is their sweet spots, and they are 6-1. I don't know if they played last night, but the last time I looked, they were 6-1. Uh-huh. You don't have to chase threes. They do shoot threes, but he don't have them chasing threes. They come within the natural flow of the offense. You don't see old boy that they got for Kawhi. What's his name? He's from L.A.
DeMar DeRozan.
You don't see DeMar jacking up. You see him shoot mid-range and get into the basket. Uh-huh. You see LaMarcus Aldridge post or mid-range. And they are finding success because they have a good coach.
The point guard's name, he escapes me at this point, but it's almost like Popovich has rebuilt the big three he had. And Aldridge, DeMar, DeRozan, and the point guard, I cannot think of his name, saved my life. But they literally are carbon copies of what Tony Parker used to be. DeRozan and Ginobili are very similar. And Aldridge and Tim Duncan, you know, have similarities in their game.
But they haven't changed because, you know, now everybody's shooting threes and wanting to be like.
Right.
And I won't even, I'm going to take Houston out of that because their coach has always wanted that fast-paced style. So I'm giving them a pass. They're not necessarily trying to change their coach was doing the whole Warriors thing before the Warriors.
Right.
And people kept telling you couldn't win playing that way, which is obviously wrong. But at any rate, I just think that they need an experienced coach. I don't know that Mark Jackson or anybody wants the job at this point because allegedly it's a heartache coaching LeBron James. But we do know that Mark Jackson was the impetus for the Warriors making their first playoffs and finding like some rhythm before he got fired and Kerr came in and won a championship that next year, right?
Right, yeah. No,
so we know he can coach. They were good defensively. Under him, I don't know who could. I don't know if there are any good coaches out there like that can manage these personalities, but because Rondo got a personality. You know Lance is out here doing his thing. But I'm starting to like Lance, honestly, even though he kind of played too much. So, yeah, I think at some point Luke just don't have the experience. He got people like Brian Shaw and former Lakers on the – like, I don't know what we trying to do. I appreciate keeping it in the family, but you need some old heads on the bench that's, you know, been around the league for a while and we don't – I don't understand why we don't have a starting five that's solidified by now.
It's rough right now. Don't worry. LeBron will be coaching by Thanksgiving, so all will be right with the world.
Well, LeBron is pretty much like Michael Jordan. Michael don't know anything but besides playing. We see the Charlotte Hornets been awful. He's been making bad drafts and all that. LeBron, he want to draft too and recruit people to the team, and then they don't mesh together. They did the same thing in Cleveland.
Yes,
so
yes.
Stay in your lane.
There's that. And, hey, on a positive tip, when everybody in the world was counting our boys out, Nick Mullins came off the bench and showed out last Thursday for the San Francisco 49ers.
How about he got his three touchdown passes? He was looking like he was a starting quarterback. But the Raiders are awful, so
Yeah, and there's that. But it was just nice to, you know, just in a year where Garoppolo goes down early, you know, all this, we had some hope and some promise for just taking the next step in our rebuilding process. And it was just nice to, with all the negativity that has happened, it's nice to have a little positive.
What happened to Bethard?
Don't know. He was questionable all week, and he just had a couple practices. I don't know exactly what his injury was. But yeah, CJ, I love you, my man. But Nick showed out. Way to go, Southern Miss.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, University of Southern Mississippi. Congratulations.
Southern Miss. What's their team?
Golden Eagles. That's the
Golden Eagles.
Brett Favre country. He's actually the one who broke all of Brett Favre's records at USM. Well, it was Austin. What was that boy name? Austin something. Austin Davis, who I think plays. I think he's back up for Russell Wilson right now.
Okay.
He broke the records first, then Nick Mullins broke his record.
Okay. So, yeah. Okay. That's good. The Gators are awful at quarterback. Let me finish that sentence. Uh-huh. They're awful at quarterback. And what's your philosophy on somebody's you know, people say they don't like to pull the quarterback because you don't want to not his ego. What is it? What's the word I'm looking for?
That's close. I don't know what the synonym for that is, but that's ego is close enough.
Yeah, because I'm like, how do other players feel when they sitting out there and like, he is stinking it up, coach? Like, how awful do you think I am that you won't put me in?
Yeah.
Like, he is throwing balls in the dirt behind people. Why am I standing over here? I can hold on to a ball when I get hit. Come on, man.
Yeah, it's a, I don't know. Mullins has got to get him a quarterback in there for this to actually go right for them.
What I'm not so worried about, again, we got our 6 wins, bowl game. Look, we ain't make a bowl last year. We got the 6 wins. We probably get 7 or 8. I mean, I don't know the way they just played against Missouri. They'll lose to South Carolina if they don't bring their A game.
Well, I know this. My Rebels had a chance to get that 6 win against South Carolina this weekend, choked it away. That's all for naught.
That's because the defense can't guard nobody.
Correct.
They like the Lakers. They gave up 48 points.
Yeah.
Come on, Rebels.
I mean, that's a shame. All we need is one more win for that imaginary bowl.
Well, what was that? I saw something in an article about.
So we got our. Okay, that is big news. We do have the NCAA, we got our official visits back.
Okay.
Unofficial. Excuse me. Unofficial. Okay. We've had official. Okay. They were taking away our unofficial. We only had one unofficial, which kid can only come one time for an unofficial visit. And in football, that matters tremendously because kids take multiple unofficial visits to schools.
Right.
You know, and it's just that, that's when you see the millions of kids lying in the sideline before the games and all that. Yeah, it's good that we had those back.
So they got that back. Okay.
Yeah, that's good for recruiting. I mean, it was unprecedented, honestly, for that to even be taken away. It's never been taken away in any other case.
Well, that was my question. Why did they lose it? What kind of mess? If a kid just want to come to the University of Mississippi and they drop by the football, how can you say they can't do it? But anyway, that's another story for how bad the NCAA is. They have power, but they have no power. Imagine that. So other than that, I don't really have anything besides get out and vote tomorrow. It may be rain, sleet, snow. Find a way. Make your voice heard. Participate in our democracy.
Praise the Lord.
Yes, and I believe the children are our future and the grown ups too in this one. And we need y'all to lead the way for the children and show them all the beauty they possess inside.
Oh, give us a chance.
Yeah.
Whew. R.I.P. Whitney. All right.
That's a mess.
All right. So as always, I let the ladies go first. We'll kick off part 2.
Chapter 6, The Fight. Christian sat in church, looking at all the speakers come and profess how great a man his father is and how wonderful his mother is. At least they got half of the information right in Christian's eyes. Sending one of the small sections off from either side of the choir stand, Christian could see the sanctuary. It was filled to capacity. The church had grown a great deal since he was home last. Finally, Bishop Love stood to speak to the congregation. The congregation stood to their feet and applauded. Thank you, thank you. But we must give honor where honor is due. Let's give God the honor due him. For without him, I can do nothing, Orlando began. He then waited for the applause to end. First of all, I want to thank my lovely and beautiful wife for standing by my side through all these years. Orlando motioned for his wife to come to the pulpit. Never liking the spotlight, Olivia blushed, but went out to stand by her husband. The applause rose again. Olivia just smiled. My wife and I want to thank you for sticking it out with us 33 years. I think I can speak for both of us when I say it has been a wonderful ride. I also want to thank my staff and everyone who makes me look good. I want to thank my son, Ian, for being the best armor bearer I have had. Olivia looked at her husband and prayed. He said something about their birth child. I dare not call names lest I forget someone, but I would be remiss if I didn't thank Bishop Wilkins and his lovely wife, Benita, for coming across country to celebrate with me on this day. I also would like to thank Bishop McKay for coming back to break bread with us. And last but not least, I want my son, Christian, whom I love dearly, for coming and joining us on this day to rise. Orlando looked back at his son. Christian felt a bit uncomfortable. He wasn't big on being the center of attention like his mother. The people applauded again. The next voice you will hear after the choir will be Bishop Brendan McKay, Orlando said before exiting the stage with his wife. As service came to a close, Christian spoke to several members he knew before making his way to the church's office to wait for his parents. As he walked down the hall, he came up on Ian and Mia, who were having a heated discussion. He watched from a distance and could not help but notice Mia jump when Ian raised his hands to emphasize a point. The conversation ended with Ian storming off and Mia walking in the other direction crying. Christian went to see what was going on with his cousin. He caught up to her as she made it to the back steps that led to the parking area where administrators parked. Mia, hold up, Christian said. Not now, Christian. Mia rushed out of the door and into the back lot. Christian caught up with her and took her by the arm. Hold on, what's going on? Christian stopped her for progress. Nothing, Mia lied. Last I checked, people didn't cry over nothing, Christian said. Mia wiped away a tear and tried to gather herself. I'm okay, she said. I saw you and Ian. Everything okay? Christian said. Mia looked at him and then away. Everything is fine. She turned and walked into the parking lot. Christian followed her. Come on, Mia. You know you can talk to me, Christian said. Mia didn't say anything as she walked toward the playground and took a seat on a single bench in the area. Christian took a seat beside her. What's going on? Mia looked at him. She wanted to tell someone, needed to tell someone what was going on, but didn't know how to do it. Didn't know if it was a good idea because she didn't like the feeling. She didn't like feeling weak and vulnerable, which is what she felt like at the moment. Is he putting his hands on you? Christian said. Something in his gut said so. He knew because they grew up together and had plenty of fights, physical and verbal. Mia looked at him, but didn't say anything. People began to flood out of the church. Christian went from 0 to 60 faster than a Corvette. He was on his feet in a flash. Mia, knowing how much he loved her, got up and grabbed him before he got too far. No, Christian, you can't, she said. He turned and glared at her. What do you mean I can't? No man is ever justified in putting his hands on a woman, Christian said. And he sure as Hades is not going to get away with putting his hands on you. I don't care who he is. Christian walked from Mia's grasp. Christian, please, she begged. Christian stopped and took 3 steps back towards Mia. What you want me to do? Act like I don't know? Yes, Mia said. Why don't you just leave him? I don't know. Mia shook her head and walked back towards the bench. What do you want? Do you want to become a statistic? You know as well as I that these relationships never end well, Christian said. He wouldn't hurt me, Mia said. Just let me handle it, okay? Christian didn't say anything. He just looked at Mia thinking he would never peg her as a woman that would take abuse. Christian promised me you would not say anything. Just let me handle it, Mia said. Christian looked at Mia. She was asking a lot of him. Mia closed the distance between them. Please, just let me handle it. Yeah, but on one condition. What? You leave him immediately. I am not going to leave him, but I will do it on my own terms. No, immediately, Christian demanded. Olivia watched as her son and niece went back and forth. She wondered what they were having a disagreement over. It could be anything. They fought all the time when they were little. She continued to watch as her husband came in the room and asked what she was looking at. He had come to get her so they could go to the restaurant and eat. He joined her side and looked out the window. What's going on with these two? Olivia didn't know what was going on and said as much. Just as they decided to leave, they saw Ian walk up and Christian turn and deck him. Orlando rushed out of the office and headed to the playground.
Chapter 7, Solitude. There was a difference in being alone and being lonely. This was something Rowan's parents and friends did not understand. She had always been a loner and was never the type to need a man to make her feel complete or like a woman. Her mother had taught her early on that she did not need a man. You are the gift. Remember, God made us for men, not vice versa, Frances would constantly say. Unlike her father, her mother was God-fearing. Rowan had taken her words to heart, but she could not deny, from time to time she was lonely. She had missed having someone call to see how her day went or dropping by to visit. Christian had conjured up those feelings in her. It had been close to 2 years since she had dated. It was not because she had no offers. She just had not met a man that could handle the restraints she put on the relationship. She foresaw Christian having the same problem as the other men, but unlike the others, she was attracted to Christian. It was more than physical. It was something about him that she couldn't pinpoint, but couldn't ignore all at the same time. While lying at home on the couch, watching television, her phone rang. She answered. Can I come over? Christian said. No hello. How are you? Nothing. Rowan looked at the time. It was just after 7. Sure, she said. Within 10 minutes, Christian was at the door. He greeted her with a hug. Hello, beautiful, he spoke. Hey, come on in, Rowan said. They took a seat on the couch. What's going on, Rowan asked. How was the anniversary dinner? Terrible, Christian said. What happened? Rowan was curious. Christian stood and took his suit coat off to get comfortable, putting his head on her lap and kicking up his feet. Can I trust you? He asked her. Yes, Rowan said, knowing in her heart that something was happening between them, although she was not quite sure what it was. You can't tell anyone what I'm about to tell you, he said. He knew how word of mouth could move faster than a locomotive. The last thing he needed was Rowan mentioning this, that his father's right-hand man was abusive. Not even your mother. Okay, Rowan said. Christian told her about he and his cousin Mia's relationship, how they were practically like brother and sister. He went on to explain how his father's right-hand man was dating his cousin Mia. Then he went on to explain what happened at the church. This was all a lot for Rowan to take in. She had never been in an abusive relationship, but she felt if she was ever abused, she would leave. He went on to explain how he knocked Ian out on the playground. Rowan was surprised. He didn't seem like the fighting type. Still, she liked the fact that Christian stood up for his cousin. Yet she wasn't sure he took the best course of action. I don't know where my parents came from. They wanted to know what was going on. Just when I was about to tell them why I had hit Ian, Mia took up for him, Christian said. What did she do? She said, I misunderstood something I saw earlier and was coming to her defense because I saw her crying after a heated conversation between her and Ian, Christian explained. Did your parents believe her? Rowan asked. I don't know. They were trying to check on Ian and my father told me that he would talk to me later. It was a mess, Christian said. I'm sorry, Christian looked at Rowan. How was your day today? Not half as eventful as yours, Rowan said. I went to church and came home. What church did you attend, Christian asked. Greater Grace, Rowan said. Pastor Wright? Christian asked. Yes, what church do you attend? Rowan asked. When I'm in town, I attend Greater Grace or New Hope, Christian said. Christian's phone rang, and from the tone, he knew it was the business line. He sat up, grabbed his suit coat, and retrieved his phone. Hello, he said. Hey, Christian, Victoria said. Hey, what's up? Christian asked. Are you available next Friday? She asked. I'm not sure. I will have to check my calendar, he said. Well, check and get back to me, please. I need a date next Friday night for a gala that I'm attending, Victoria said. Okay, I will let you know, Christian said and ended the call. Christian looked at the time, and it was close to 9, and he recalled Rowan said that she went to bed around 10. Well, I'm going to get out of your hair, Christian stood to his feet. Rowan did the same. She followed him to the door, watching as he put on his suit coat. There was no doubt he had his suit custom fitted. He was so lean and tall, there was no other explanation as to why his suits looked so good on him. He stopped before opening the door and turned to Rowan. I really appreciate you lending me your ear, he said, looking at her features. She was gorgeous. He couldn't help but notice. No problem. Anytime, Rowan said. Christian smiled. You sure? I'm gonna hold you to that, he said with a sly grin. She just smiled. Christian leaned in to kiss her, hoping, praying that she wouldn't reject his advances. She held out her hand, placing it squarely on his chest, denying his advance. If her heart wasn't beating so loudly, she would have felt his pounding through his chest. Not yet, she looked in his eyes. Christian felt dejected, but didn't let it show. It had been a long time since he had locked lips, and he wanted to feel her lips next to his. Okay, he took her hand that was touching him. See you tomorrow. Okay, Rowan said, looking into his brown eyes. She watched as he slid into his Corvette and closed the door. She let out a deep sigh as she leaned with her back against the door. She had never been so nervous in her life. What just happened? She thought as she turned off the lamp and the television before heading to her room. She had never felt this way about a man so quickly. Christian started the engine and looked at the front door. He smiled at the thought of Rowan. For the first time in a long time, he was excited about a woman that was not a client. Being in his occupation, the thrill had passed. But now, since meeting with Rowan, he was feeling again, and he liked it.
Chapter 8, Jazz with Friends. Roy met Christian's friend, Francis, and his wife, Tiffany. Francis and Christian were college roommates. Francis told stories of how Christian was more concerned with making money than being with women when they were in school. "You got this guy. Women are falling all over. I got girls coming up to me asking me to hook them up, and he's acting like he is not interested. All he was interested in was his books and his money." "Don't even try. You were just as bad as I was until you met Tiffany," Christian said. Francis kissed his wife squarely on the lips. "Yeah, you might be right," Francis said. "But seriously, I'm happy to see money is not your sole purpose these days." The conversation flowed freely. Warren found out Francis was a CPA and his wife was a financial planner. Warren knew from the moment she saw them that they were doing well for themselves. She was shocked that they were really down to earth and not snobs like some people in those same circles she had crossed paths with. The night ended with Francis telling Roy to keep Christian in line. They all said their goodbyes and went their separate ways. "They were really nice," Roy said as they headed to her place. "My father always told me I'm only as good as the company I keep," Christian said. "So I try to surround myself with good people." "That was good to know," Roy thought. "Can I ask you something?" Roy said. "Sure. What is it you like about me?" she asked. "You are not only beautiful, you are intelligent, caring, and I feel like we have met in another life," Christian said. She understood the feeling. There was something about Christian that was familiar. There was something about him that made her want to let down her guard and allow him to get closer to her. But there was still something about him that gave her pause. But at this point, she had led him closer than she had realized, and it was difficult to walk back. They drove in silence the rest of the ride to Roy's place. When they arrived, both Christian and Roy were anxious. Christian, because tonight was the night. He decided he would make a move. Roy, because she was concerned about how to let Christian know she cared for him and wanted them to continue down the path they were on, yet let him know she still wasn't ready for intimacy. The moment arrived before Roy anticipated. Christian walked her to the door, and she had invited him in. They stood face to face in the doorway. Christian opened his arms for a hug, which had been the extent of their departures. Christian's longing for a kiss leaned in. Roy held her breath. He kissed her softly once. He kissed her again, and the sparks turned into flame. Their tongues met, and Roy ended the exchange. She disconnected from Christian's hold. Christian smiled at her. "I need to tell you something," Roy said. "What?" Christian asked. "I am not having sex until I am married," Roy said. Sex had not come up in any of the conversation, but after the kiss, she knew it was only a matter of time. "Okay." Christian closed the space between them. He gently pulled her back into his arm. He kissed her softly on the lips. "I should go. I'll give you a call later." Roy looked at him and grinned. She wondered as he walked the couple of steps to the door how long this would be his position. Several men she had dated were open to her position until they found out how serious she was about her virginity. Christian stole one last peck on the lips before leaving. As he headed to his car, he was excited about the prospect. Though dating Roy had been challenging, the possibility of being her first was intriguing.
Chapter 9, Change Going to Come. Christian sat in a limo with Victoria headed to the hotel. When they got there, Christian walked her to the room, and as usual, she was all over him. Christian did not mind this time. Being with Victoria, it was an opportunity to relieve his sexual frustration. They enjoyed each other, and when it was over, Victoria lay next to Christian, wondering what had just happened. Christian had never been so passionate with her. He took his time, and she didn't have to do all the work like usual. "What got into you today?" she asked as she touched his chest. "What do you mean, what got into me?" Christian asked. You seem more inspired this evening," Victoria said. Christian chuckled. "Maybe you inspire me," Christian said. "My money inspires you," Victoria said. Christian just looked at her. "Sorry," Victoria said. "So what do you have planned for the first week of November?" she asked. They talked about business before Victoria was fast asleep. Christian slipped out of bed and went into the other room to call Rowan. He had not spoken with her that day and wanted to hear her voice. "Hey, beautiful," Christian said. "Are you asleep?" "No, just resting," Rowan said. What's going on? I figured you'd probably be asleep. I just wanted to hear your voice. Rowan loved when he made those type of remarks. You are too sweet, Rowan said. I know, but you love me anyway, Christian said. Did you get my gift I sent? Yes, and we probably need to talk about it, Rowan said. We haven't known each other long enough for you to be giving me such expensive gifts. So, I can't buy my lady an expensive gift if I want to, Christian said. Rowan didn't say anything. I'm gonna let you get some rest. I just wanted to hear your voice, Christian said. Sweet dreams. Good night, Christian, Rowan said. Good night, Christian said, ending the call. He went back in the room with Victoria and slid into bed. He thought about what Victoria said about the coitus being more passionate than usual. Her assessment was correct. What she would never know was he was thinking of someone else while with her. Christian's spirit was troubled. As he lay in bed watching Victoria sleep, he knew this was not right. He had just had relations with another woman while thinking of his lady. Even worse than that, he had called Rowan afterwards. He was not that type of guy. He had been raised better than this. He needed to make some changes in his life, he told himself.
Chapter 10, Surprise Visit. Christian had been busy, and though he and Rowan had talked on the phone, they had not gone out on a date in over a week. Rowan had thrown in the towel. Christian had not. Though he had considered it, not a day went by that he didn't think about her. He didn't contact her because he said he would give her space and time to think. The 1st of November rolled around, and Christian was coming in from an assignment. He had a thought to call Rowan. Looking at the time, he thought, why not swing by the theater to see her? He knew she was likely at work, and he wanted to see her in her element. Asia was in the box office when she saw the tall, light-skinned, gorgeous man strolled in looking like a million bucks. He wore a blue suit, light blue shirt, a blue and white paisley tie that set the suit off. She would have thought it was the customer, but there was no play that evening, Asia surmised. Christian walked up to the box office desk. Hello, how can I help you, Miss Payne? The theater manager said. Yes, ma'am, I'm here to see Miss Edison, Christian said. Asia's eyes shot to Christian. Was this the man that was sending gifts? Okay, Asia, do you know him? Miss Payne said. He is looking for Rowan, if she is available. Yeah, I would be more than happy to walk him back. She came out and opened the door. Asia flashed a smile at Christian. The manager gave Christian a look. He looked familiar. Hi, I am Miss Anderson. Asia extended her hand. Lord, this man not only looks good, but he smells better, Asia thought. Christian took her hand. A pleasure to meet you, he said. Rowan sat in her room waiting for Asia to come into the office so they could share lunch and go over a few details for a show. She had just ended a conversation with her mother and was getting her lunch from the microwave when Asia walked in with Christian behind her. What are you doing here? Their eyes locked. She didn't expect to see him again since they hadn't spoken in over a week. Asia looked at Rowan and then at Christian, feeling the tension in the moment. I think I will have my lunch in the break room, she said. Nice to meet you, Asia said as she exited the room and closed the door behind her. She could not wait until she talked to Rowan about Christian. Rowan disconnected eye contact with Christian when Asia closed the door. I came to see you, Christian said. Am I interrupting something? No. Rowan stopped looking at him and turned her attention to her lunch. She pushed it aside. She was no longer hungry. She was nervous. She shuffled some papers on the desk. Is this a bad time? He asked. No. Have a seat, Rowan said. He sat where Asia normally would sit when they shared lunch. Christian looked around. Nice office. Thanks, Rowan said. Will you play something for me? Christian said, noticing the keyboard. Maybe another time. So, to what do I owe this visit? I came to see if you were available for dinner tonight, Christian said. I made reservations at Thea's. They have a really nice jazz band playing tonight. Would you like to accompany me? Rowan paused. Yes, that would be nice. Christian just looked at her for a long second. What? You are beautiful, Christian said. Thank you. She still was uncomfortable with him admiring her beauty aloud. How have you been? Christian asked. I have been well. How have you been? Missing my mamacita, Christian said slyly in the worst Mexican accent ever. Rowan smiled. I love your smile, Christian said. He would like nothing more than to see the smile on her face more often. Rowan didn't say anything. She just looked at him. Well, I won't keep you. I will pick you up at 6 if that's okay. That will be fine, Rowan said. Let me walk you out. Rowan walked Christian to the exit, and there was an awkward moment. Should they hug? They both thought. Kissing was out of the question. Shake hands, maybe? They did none of the above. Christian exited the building and Rowan headed back to lunch. As Rowan walked back into her office, Angel was waiting. Why didn't you tell me he was so good looking? What does he do? Model? No. Well, what does he do? He's an independent contractor. For who, doing what? He's an entrepreneur, Rowan said. Does he have a brother? Asia said. Rowan laughed. No. Some girls have all the luck, Asia said. I don't know about all that. What do you mean? He's tall, good looking, has his own business, which I might add, he must be doing well at because that suit he is wearing is tailor-made, Asia said. How would you know that? I worked for a tailor when I was in school, Asia said. The phone rang, so Asia's interrogation had to come to an end, but she would be sure to finish her line of questioning later.
And when we make this into a movie, the girl, I cannot think of her name, but the girl that played LaVita Alizé Jenkins from Steve Harvey Show is definitely playing Asia. I'm calling it now.
That's hilarious.
She was just on an episode of Rail last night, a new show on Fox, and I thought she was she played I can't remember exactly. She was like the manager of I guess the guy was a preacher. I guess she was the manager of the church or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And Rail's cousin, who just got out of prison, was given a job, and she was basically harassing him. I mean, she was grabbing him, but she played the part so smooth. I said they got the right actress for this. She just has that. She has that vibe that she would do something like that. But yeah, she would be perfect for this, and I want her to act just like LaVita when she acts like Asia. Nosy.
So he's still trying to get, he tried to get her to come home with him for Thanksgiving.
So.
Okay.
Yep. Okay. She trying to hold off her virginity, and he's taking it as a challenge.
Right.
Woo. Boy, this is entertaining. But that's where we're going to end it today, folks.
It'll be interesting.
Yes. Today went a lot better.
We hope y'all think so too.
Hopefully it comes across in the editing.
Yes.
But as always, I'm one of your co-hosts, Brian McKay, and I am with
T. God is good even though it's raining, Davis.
Get out and vote tomorrow, people. Every vote counts. And this has been the Mac and T Show podcast. Thank you for listening.
This is the Mac and T Show. This is the Mac and T Show. We talk movies and TV shows, sports and world news, coasting like on a world cruise. Hosted by Brian McKay and T. Davis. Yeah. You can't tame us. We're going to the top. We're becoming famous.
What time is it?
It's time for the Mac and T Show.
What time is it?
I said it's time for the Mac and T Show.